Yep, it is funny because it's true, because that is exactly how we're going to win the game. We're going to move the chains, move them. But for right now, we're going to stay right where we are, right here, Blog Talk Radio for Jaguar Zone. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York, and I have cracked everybody up here at the studio. God, I'm going to have to turn down the microphone. But anyway, I'm happy to be here this week talking Jaguars. Man, these three week things are killer, because there's so much I've wanted to say in the last couple weeks, and I sneak a little bit in on the other NFL show we do, the Falcon Zone, but it's every 3 weeks too, so you know we're staying with it. Now, of course, I did say we were going to be joined by Scuduto, very good friend of the show and mine as well, from ProFootballSpot.com. Frank actually is a little under the weather and couldn't join us, but I have had a few text conversations with him. And I'm going to tell you some of the fun things he said, because he's always got some great things to say. You need to follow his articles. Definitely try to find him. Frank Scaduto, that is S-C-A-D-U-T-O on Facebook. And, of course, you can go to ProFootballSpot.com and check out all of his latest articles. And he posts up all kinds of stuff on Facebook, all kinds of useful sports knowledge. And you know, he's a fun contributor to this show as well. So definitely kudos to you, Frank, and I hope you feel better real soon, buddy. And we'll definitely have you on in the future. But, of course, as I said, I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We are presented today, Jaguar Zone is, of course, by Impact Media. Appreciate those guys. Super awesome scholars and model citizens. Now, things we're going to get into today. Things me and Frank talked about across our conversation earlier today was about our free agency and some draft talk, and I'll get a little bit into that, and then I'll ask you guys some questions. You guys can phone in, of course, if you'd like, or you can hit us up on Twitter at TheImpact99, at Team Impact Media. You can find us on Facebook, where facebook.com/TheImpactMedia. Be sure to hit us up on there if you like, or call in 347-826-7448. Again, 347-826-7448. I do say try to keep it PG. We do have a lot of smaller listeners, and, you know, we want to make sure they have the great listening experience that you are as well. And a couple other fun things. We're going to talk about the Jaguars and a London tie. And we'll talk a little soccer for, you know, Dan Patrick has the 5 good soccer seconds. We will probably have about 12. Pretty fun news. Tim Tebow in the news again, of course, and the Falcons had a pretty good piece, which also freed up another key piece that I'd say maybe the Jaguars should take a look at. And, of course, the Big Four, as announced, we're going to talk some Michael Sam. We're going to talk about leveling up. We're going to talk about the new touchback rule. And I'm going to explain to you why winners hang with winners. And if you saw my post on Facebook the other day about it with the particular picture, you'll know exactly where I'm coming from. But first, we're going to take a break. And when we come back to the break, we're going to jump straight into the conversation I had with Frank. And I'll do my best to portray it in the way he would through text. We'll be right back.
Jeremy, the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business.
Jeremy Ord back here on Jaguar Zone on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for returning with us. Like I said, we were going to have Frank Scaduto from ProFootballSpot.com on, but Frank was a little under the weather. So we had a text conversation a little bit earlier today. Hope you feel better again, once again, buddy. And I'm just going to kind of go through a few of the things we talked about. Now, we were talking about Jaguars free agency for the most part, so we'll start there. I asked him, I said, as far as the main free agent signings, which were the better ones in his opinion as far as what the team needed to move forward? Not just plugging in holes, but it's, you know, it's short-term and long-term, but which ones did he feel like were the bigger ones? Now, he responded, I did an article on ProFootballSpot.com yesterday. Be sure to go and read that. It's also on Facebook. I may have even put it up. He wrote an article yesterday where he suggested Kelvin Beachum, which is the offensive lineman, was the best signing considering the offensive line woes over recent years, especially Luke Jokel. Everybody's hit or miss on him, a lot more miss than hit. Either way, he also went on to say, but Malik Jackson and Tayshaun Gibson are vital pieces too. I suggested to him that to be outside the box a little bit, to use the names people probably aren't using, that I would say that Brad Nortman, the punter, and Chris Dobry, the running back, could be big signings in that Nortman is a solid punter, and field position is definitely a thing that the team needs to improve on this year. And Ivory is going to be key if and when T.J. Yeldon gets hurt or can't get going quite fast enough. We have that reliable second option. Denard tried to be. He might be the 2B right there where Ivory's 2A. But Frank responded with, in my experience, I see Jackson having to restructure within 2 years, as he wrote in his article. So Gibson and Beachum are the long-term best bets. Ivory and Nortman may not be long-term guys, as well as Bernardo and Amukamara, which I agreed with. Now, the Jaguars had to spend some money this year, just like the Raiders. Had to get up to the minimum and had a lot of cash to spend. So kind of like Oakland did a couple years ago, we did sign some short-term guys with some bigger contracts in order to get them and plug in holes now. We're hoping to either draft the replacements or run across them in the next year or so. Anyway, maybe we already have the replacements, but we had to spend, so you might as well improve in places that you can. Frank went on to say, we still have plenty of dollars to spend, but they claim to be saving money for re-signing the 2014 class. That'd be Blake Bortles' class. The 2013 class likely won't be re-signed in its entirety. Makes sense, right? Only bits and pieces of it, I believe, the certain ones, because a lot of them haven't really panned out, I don't believe. Pretty solid plan. And then, of course, we got into some draft talk. And I said, as far as round one, would he, as it been Frank, want Joey Bosa, Ramsey, Tunsil, Miles Jack, or somebody else? I like what he said here. He said, it's Jacksonville this year, with Jackson signing Malik Jackson, and Miles Jack the clear option to jump in at auto, especially now that Dan Scuda's moved over to the Leo spot, which is something that was talked about, and it now seems like that's going to happen. That's definitely a plan worth getting behind, and I think the Jaguars are making the right decision in that. Now you have to hope that he falls to you at number five, or you may have to go up and get him. According to Frank, he thinks he should, and that few teams will draft a guy not ready to practice until July. Miles Jack has a meniscal tear or something like that in his knee that he's pretty much not going to run the rest of the time all the way till the draft. He's already done his pro workouts, his pro day, that kind of stuff. So there's no reason for him to continue to put stress on it, and all the other medical reports seem that he's fine. Frank also said, Shad is being very patient, and Gus did get the one-year extension, so they're willing to wait a little bit on somebody with that much talent to add to the team. But he did have to go after that. Like I said, he was a little under the weather, I believe. we definitely want him to get well soon, you know, not just for the sake of the show, because, you know, we can have him on many other times. But, you know, all our friends on here, we don't want anybody hurt or sick or injured or anything like that. So feel better soon, Frank. Appreciate you having the brief text conversation with me a little bit earlier, and Godspeed on the recovery. But, yeah, that's pretty much the conversation that we had briefly. Like I said, he needed to go at that point, and I did as well to come on here with you guys. But it was good getting to talk to him. We talk a lot through social media anyway. It was good to get to talk to him again, and I assure you in the next few shows we'll definitely have him on to talk other things. Now, just got to go over some of the stuff we said there. As far as the free agent signings, here are pretty much 98% of them. There's a few other ones. We'll get to those. You have the corner, Princeton Amukamura. You have the tackle, Kelvin Beachum. Guard, Mackenzie Bernadeau. The free safety, Tayshawn Gibson. Chris Ivory, the running back. Defensive end, Malik Jackson. Tight end, Mercedes Lewis was re-signed. Brad Norman was signed as well. Now, each one of these could play a key role. Now, clearly, our secondary had some issues last year. That's why a lot of teams were able to burn us deep. And, you know, you have to say this. Of the other quarterbacks in our division, the people we play twice a year, Andrew Luck, a very pretty deep ball. It's one of his arsenal weapons for sure. And he's got a couple guys that can get out there. Marcus Mariota, it's hit or miss if he's got anybody to get out there. But at the same time, Mariota can throw the long, deep pass as well. Brock Osweiler, I think that's one of the holes in his game, but I wouldn't doubt that's something he's worked on. And, I mean, he can consistently throw farther than Peyton Manning, but Manning's not playing anymore, and he's not behind Manning. So, but as far as that, you know, Andrew Luck loves to try to burn us deep all the time, so that's something we're going to have to look at. But adding Amukamura is definitely going to help with that. As far as helping the offensive line, adding tackle Beachum and Bernadeau to the guard, I think is going to help. It's going to add some depth. I don't know the exact, you know, we're hearing that Linder could be the center, that Luke Jokel is still the left tackle. You know, maybe Kelvin Beachum is the right tackle. Maybe Mackenzie Bernadeau is the left guard or right guard. Who knows at this point? But I think this adds depth, and it gives us more options of figuring out which five we need to use as the point of attack. Tayshawn Gibson, of course, being the free safety, we need a point man back there. He is like the point guard of the defense. That's pretty much what your free safety is. Your middle linebacker and your free safety are pretty much your shot callers for the most part. Depends on the personnel, but most of the time that's who it is. Your strong safety a lot of times is, I'm not going to really say in backup, but the free safety is a little more free roaming, where the strong safety stays in center field and makes sure nobody gets past him. He can offer help different other places. That's typically how you run those sorts of things. So between Gibson and Amukamura, our secondary got better. We know about Malik Jackson. We've talked about him. Brad Norman, I mentioned, he's a solid punter. He did come from Carolina, which means we got to see a bunch of him last year as far as on national television. I mean, he's a solid punter. Not that Anger is not, but I think Norman's just a little bit better. And field position was critical last year. There was a lot of times that our punting game and our kickoff game, especially in coverage, was not quite where it is. Well, if you get a guy maybe that can hang a ball a little better or pinpoint where it goes a little better, sometimes you can pin them deep. And then, of course, re-signing Mercedes Lewis. We needed another tight end. Mercedes has been here for a while. And, you know, it's good to have him back. I feel like he can play a couple more years. He can add a lot to this team in depth. Obviously, he's not number one, but in multi-tight end sets, which there are a handful that we run here in Jacksonville. So, you know, you need that depth, and this is a guy who's been here. He's really one of the faces of the team, and they got him at a good price, which is typically what matters. And of course, like I said, we talked about the draft. and we had it down between Joey Bosa, Jalen Ramsey, Laremy Tunsil, Miles Jack, and whoever the any other person might be. I really feel like Bosa's going to be gone, and I think he could be – I mean, I like Bosa, but Ramsey's really moving up. He might go number one overall. Tunsil may be sitting there. I mean, he's a good offensive lineman. He's a beast of a guy. You might put him at left tackle. You could also, but it, you know, I agree. I think Miles Jack, he's such a versatile player that he can play safety, he can play corner, he can play linebacker, and he's very athletic, very fast. I'm not worried about the knee. So I kind of got to agree. The leader in the clubhouse right now is Miles Jack. I would hope he's there at five. It really depends on Cleveland and if anybody tries to move up. If Cleveland takes the quarterback, there's a good chance he's there. And if somebody moves ahead of Cleveland, then I think there's a real good shot because Cleveland will probably take the other quarterback, Goff, and if Carson Wentz and Goff both go early, Miles Jack's going to fall to us. Now, as far as the Jaguars draft, this will be the second year in a row that they're going to announce a draft pick from London. It's kind of a cool thing. It's a way to tie into our second fan base over there. Second only because, obviously, Jacksonville is first. But it's all one big family. Very happy to have the Londoners who support the Jaguars. You know, in a way, the Jaguars have kind of become their home team anyway. No, I'm not saying they're going to move to London anytime soon. Trust me, as soon as I hear something on that, you guys will be the first or second people to know, depending on who's next to me. And then, of course, the U.S. men's national team, that's soccer, of course, is going to play against Trinidad and Tobago on September 6th at Everbank Field. I believe this is part of the qualifying games towards the World Cup. And if it's not, then it's just a friendly. Now, the U.S. has kind of struggled in the last handful of games in the last few years, really. They almost missed getting in on qualifying just the other night, but were able to pull off a 4-0 victory over Guatemala. You know, I would typically say if the U.S. was just facing Trinidad or just facing Tobago, they should be able to beat them. But when you have to face Trinidad and Tobago, I mean, it feels like you're having to face two teams. Sound guys a little slow. No, I think it's going to be a real good matchup. I hope the U.S. is able to pull that off. The guys really need to dig the cleats in and you know, find their sticking place and really lead this team to the heights that the rest of the country wants them to go to. Last couple things I'm going to get to before we take before going to our next break. And, of course, on the other side of that, we'll talk about the big four topics that we're going to start doing each and every week. Tim Tebow is back in the news. Yeah, that Tim Tebow. Like there's another one, right? Tim Tebow has been rumored to say that he may run for office someday. That he could see himself running for office. All right, Tim, I could see that. Now we don't know if he means like state senator or congressman or if he means like mayor of Duval County or he didn't really specify. He just said that he could see himself running for office someday. So more power to you, Tim. And I'm sure a lot of Jaguar Nation would be behind you on that one. So good luck to you. And, you know, feel free to come on the show and talk about it. Then, of course, the last bit of news I was going to get to is the Falcons, the other team NFL team we cover here. The Falcons signed former Baltimore Raven outside linebacker Courtney Upshaw. Now, I'll be the first to admit I didn't realize he was a free agent. That's a pretty big name. And he actually is from Alabama. I've actually been in the area where where he grew up mainly. He also played at the University of Alabama. I believe Julio Jones had something to do with him coming in to play for Atlanta. In the process, it seems like the reason they had an outside linebacker spot open for Courtney Upshaw who will keep his 91, by the way, is because they either didn't re-sign or they released Croy Bierman. Now, if you listen to any of our Falcon Zone shows in the last year or so, I'm a big Croy Bierman fan. Has nothing to do with his wife or his TV show or nothing like that. I've always liked the guy. I used to make fun of him a lot until I realized he's actually a pretty solid player and a really good dude. I feel like the Jaguars, if you want to add some linebacker depth, I mean, maybe he can play auto a little bit in a pinch. Maybe he can play Leo. I don't know. He's a pretty good pass rusher. I mean, he's not, you know, J.J. Watt or something. But Corey Bierman in the teal and black, I'd be good with that. So, you know, who knows? Maybe Shad Khan's listening, or we can get word to him, or Gus Bradley. I think this is a guy that fits your scheme pretty well there, Gus. So, you know, maybe we can get Corey Bierman. I think that'd be nice. When we come back from break, we're going to talk about the Big Four. Who knows which one we'll start with? Make sure you stay tuned on the other side of the break. We'll see you in a few.
Jeremy, the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business.
And welcome back to Jaguar Zone. I'm Jeremy, the Impact York. We're all the way to the Big Four. The Big Four, of course, being the Big Four topics we're going to really try to dig into here. And I want to start with one of the new rules that I didn't mention last week on Falcon Zone. It's the main one I left out. Not on purpose, but since I did, I figured I'd go on about it and really dig into it. And of course, this is one of the new rules they are trying. I believe it's just for a year to test it out, kind of like last year with all the extra points being moved back. This one is where a touchback is going to come out to the 25-yard line. I believe it's only on kickoffs. So if you go to kickoff after a scoring play, because the Jaguars are going to have a lot of those this year, or kickoff to start the first half or the second half, which we'll do at least once a game. If you kick it in the end zone and they down it, or you kick it out of the back of the end zone, the possessive team will start on the 25-yard line. Now, the reason that you're really trying to do this, they say it's for player safety and to cut down on the most violent play in the game, the kickoff. Okay, I can see those arguments, player safety. But in a way, this could go against player safety in that what happens when these returners, even if they're 7, 8, 9 yards deep in the end zone and they catch it, decide to come out anyway? Where you think you're encouraging them to take the free 25 yards, really you're just kind of enticing them to try to run it back, because it's one of the most exciting plays during a game is when a kickoff return, especially a big return, whether it's a touchdown or not. This kind of rule, does it put people more at risk? Like I said, many are still going to try to run the ball out of the end zone. Pac-Man Jones the other day, or Adam Jones, whichever one he chooses to go by. I think it's Adam Jones now. But Adam Jones said he's going to return it out pretty much no matter what. And if the coach doesn't, he wasn't trying to, go anything against his coach, but he said if the coach doesn't want him to return the ball, wants him to try to take a knee or not run it out, then he'll probably have to take him out of the game. I think a lot of returners are this way. And in a way, doesn't this rule, you're hurting careers? A lot of guys, the main way they contribute to the game is through special teams, whether it be they're a gunner, they're a blocker, maybe they're a good wedge setup. People like Devin Hester, who has made a arguable you know, Hall of Fame career in returning kickoffs and punts for touchdown. He broke Deion's record just 2 years ago or last year. I got a video of it, actually. I need to post that video of his record-breaking run. But isn't this going to, like I said, this is going to hurt careers of people who have become great returners or, like I said, people on special teams. You know, after a while, instead of having people that return kicks and punts, you can just have people that just take knees all the time and get the free yardage. Well, that's extra spots you can use towards maybe an extra linebacker or another wide receiver, another corner. So, you know, we'll have to see. We'll have to see exactly where these things go. As far, you know, the NFL is trying with the player safety thing. I don't know if this is going to get the results they're really after. Moving on. Second thing we want to get into is the story that came out in the last couple of weeks involving St. Louis Rams, because this all happened when they were still in St. Louis. Now they're in L.A. Rams now. But it involves the Rams. And a couple years ago, when they drafted a man by the name of Michael Sam. Now, we all remember Michael Sam. He became the first gay player in the NFL when he came out right before the draft. He was the co-SEC Defensive Player of the Year a couple years ago at the University of Missouri. You know, pretty good player. But the rumored story goes that the NFL influenced, instructed, at some point they had a conversation with the Rams to draft Michael Sam, and if they did, they would avoid being on Hard Knocks last year. That's interesting. Now, supposedly the Rams said, well, we were going to draft this guy with our upcoming pick. And that the NFL said, we will contact the remaining six teams that have a pick and let them know, don't take that guy. Which is kind of odd. There has to be a gentleman's agreement at that point if they don't, because, you know, one of them could go, you know what? Screw that. I'm taking that guy anyway. But they didn't. The Rams signed that guy as a defensive tackle. He was a defensive end. They signed this guy. I don't have his name in front of me, but they signed him as a defensive tackle as an undrafted free agent. If I'm not mistaken, he got a total of $50,000 in signing bonuses and roster bonuses of some kind, which was weird because Michael Sam didn't get those, and he was a seventh round draft pick. And this guy got a couple bonuses, and he actually ended up making more money in his first year than Michael Sam. Michael Sam gets cut. This guy moves back to defensive end. Kind of interesting. Now, also, there's another layer to this story that in doing this, when it came time for the Rams to talk to the league office about moving to L.A., that the NFL said, we will help you get to L.A. You still had to go to a vote, but they would help them with the process of getting to L.A., if they did Hard Knocks this year. Well, it was announced a couple days ago actually about a week ago now it was announced the Rams are going to be on Hard Knocks. Of course they are. For one, they're moving to LA. They're trying to launch it, you know, everybody to get behind them. Arguably it's one of the teams that probably should have been on it anyway. But isn't it very interesting the way this all plays out? Now, I know a lot of you are saying, well, what about Les Snead and Jeff Fisher and those guys, you know, the upper management group for the Rams? Well, Dan Patrick, who had Jeff Fisher on just about this time last year, and asked him about if the NFL called them to ask them to take Michael Sam, because if Michael Sam didn't get drafted, it'd kind of be a PR fiasco that he gets the first openly gay player, and then nobody picks him. And this is all hearsay because, maybe it didn't happen this way, but Jeff Fisher said no last year. Nobody called them, and nobody made them take him or anything like that. They chose him on their own. Dan had him back on just last week, to which he asked him about all this. If they told him to take him so they'd avoid Hard Knocks. And if you go back and listen to it, you can look it up through their archives or the iTunes store. It was about this time last week. Yeah, it was either Thursday or Friday, I believe, one of those two shows. Could have been Wednesday. But either way, when he talks to Jeff Fisher, the way Jeff Fisher answers tells me there may be some truth to this. It's crazy. And I know Michael Sam's going to make another run at this, maybe this year or something like that, same way Tim Tebow did to try to get his way back in. And he seems to be a good guy. He's well-spoken. He's pretty educated. He actually went back. He's been working on another degree in media, which is where he might head if his NFL dream gets just proven otherwise this time around. But, more power to you, Michael Sam. Try to make a run at it, and I hope somebody gives you a fair shot. And, maybe we learn the truth behind all this. I hope it didn't come out the way that it seems like it did. But if you ask me, it looks like there's some cloudiness here. Now, we're going to take one last break, and when we come back, we've got our last two big points of the Big Four. And then we'll be out of here. But for now, I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Jeremy the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business.
And we're back here on Jaguar Zone. I'm Jeremy Impact York. Welcome back. The last two points of the Big Four kind of go together a little bit, but at the same time, they're slightly separate. Now, I'm going to start with this one. Quarterbacks that are making the jump to the next level or in the process through evolution, Blake Bortles from the Jaguars. Convenient, I'm using him, right? Blake Bortles decided to stay around Jacksonville to work better with his teammates, and he went around and worked with some of the wide receivers, some of the other ones, and made sure to try to get on the same page a lot sooner with a lot of them. That's somebody to me just trying to get better at his craft. In fact, he was asked earlier this morning on 1010XL, I believe on the morning show, about how his golf game's coming along. And he said that he actually hasn't worked on his golf game since the last time he talked to them, which is a good while ago. So, Romo did this a couple years ago. He was working on trying to make the U.S. Open, and his football skills kind of got complacent, and it took him a while to kind of get back on task. So, Blake, I'm glad you decided to work on your mechanics and stay around the Jacksonville area. Plus, he wants to get to know the fan base better. You guys have been so nice to him. With the Teal Street Hooligans and a lot of you guys all making the big trip up to the draft, caught him when he come up to the stage and off the stage, let him know he's welcome. He wears the hats all the time from you guys, from Bold City. And he's a good guy, but he's working on all of his stuff. Now, his 35 touchdowns he had, do I think he's going to have more than that this upcoming season? I don't think so, because I think the team is more solid. We're not going to have to throw as much. So don't be surprised if he has 30 or 31 touchdowns as opposed to the 35. I just don't think he's going to throw as much. But another guy trying to make it to the next level, Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan statistically had one of his worst seasons of his career last year, or this past season. Conveniently, it's the other team we cover. There's no one in it, but what did Matt Ryan do to try to get to the next level? Well, he realized that in order to learn this new scheme, Kyle Shanahan's, you know, crap book, as we call it, in the Atlanta area. We're not big Kyle Shanahan fans. And most Falcons fans aren't big Shanahan fans at all. But in order to try to learn the system and do better than he did last year, Matt Ryan took 27 players to Miami in the last couple of days to work out, hang out. Now, 27 players, they weren't all Falcons. There was a handful of other guys, but a bunch of them went down there to work out and to work on things and to just, you know, get familiarized with more of the stuff and the way things work. The thing that really tells me he's trying to get to the next level is he didn't ask these guys to pay for themselves. He footed the bill for all 27, 28 of them for them to come down and work out and stay at the hotels that they did. I'm sure whatever they did. Now, sure, he's got money. He's the $100 million quarterback. But for him to not only foot the bill, but to take 27 players to Miami to work out, that's a guy trying to get better. That's a guy trying to fix the mistakes. Like I said, just like Bortles staying around the area so he can work with the team more. So he can get familiarized with you guys, familiarized with the weather more. The last guy I want to talk about right now, about making the jump to the next level, realizing he needed to do something different. It's RG3. Robert Griffin III. Now, how is he trying to evolve into the next level? Well, he got out of Washington after sitting out a complete year, which all he did was play scout team safety. He should be in good shape. And he goes to Cleveland, signs as a free agent quarterback. How does this help? That's what you want to know. How is this helpful to him? Well, Washington clearly wasn't going to give him the opportunity. Jay Gruden has his guy in Kirk Cousins, and it seems to be the guy that works. I could have told you this a while back. The only reason they drafted RG3 was Dan Snyder, the owner, told Mike Shanahan, the head coach at the time, to draft him. So, how does this help RG3 get to the next level? Well, he gets out of Washington, number one. Number two, he found a place to restore himself. Number three, he gave himself a place to do something good or possibly great. The last great quarterback Cleveland had was like Bernie Kosar, who was kind of leaving his heyday when I was a kid. I mean, back in the day, Cleveland actually was pretty good. I believe they won some championships, but they just haven't done much since. They've got to do something different. RG3 realizes, I can go up here and make a name for myself, restore the faith in this team. So, you know, congrats, RG3, on the contract. I do believe they're still going to draft a quarterback. I don't know they do it in the first round now. But RG3 also said that if they draft a quarterback, he will happily take them under his wing, show them how to be successful in this league. And when it's time to, you know, when it's time to exchange the ball for the clipboard, he'll do it. So I hope RG3 gets a chance up there to start some games and show people that he's still got something left. Maybe he's going to use it as an audition for the next team he's on. We had one of his former classmates at Baylor on a couple weeks ago on our Revolution Zone show, which is about the Texas Revolution Indoor Football League team. You know, Terrell Owens played for the Allen Wranglers, who turned into the Texas Revolution a couple years later. Jen Welter, who is now coaching with Bruce Arians out and for the Cardinals, started as a running back for the team, then coached for a year, and like I said, is now with Bruce Arians making waves and being a great role model there. That team, we had on, she's part of Inside the Revolution. She's the on-air host of Inside the Revolution, TexasRevs.com, if you want to go check those out. But Catherine Dunn, and Catherine said that RG3 was a great student and that he had interview class with her or something like that. So, you know, got to know him a little bit. So I know she's in agreement with me. And if you hadn't checked out the Catherine Dunn interview I had along with Jordan Brown, one of the running backs for the Revolution, go check that out on our page as well. But I know Catherine talked about how she hoped RG3 got a chance to show what he could do because he really is a special athlete and a special person. So hope he does well. My fourth point, and this kind of goes into the making the jump to the next level, but not exactly. It's part of it, but not really. And that's winners hang with winners. If you guys follow me on Facebook, then you saw the post I had the other day where Jim Harbaugh was handing a Michigan jersey to Jeff Gordon that had a 24 and a Gordon on the back. And whether you like the Harbaughs, whether you like Jeff Gordon or not, winners hang with winners. Losers hang with losers. Jeff Gordon went to hang out with Michigan and Jim Harbaugh, not just because Jim Harbaugh invited him, because I'm sure he gets invited to do stuff all the time. Jeff Gordon has 93 career NASCAR wins. Jim Harbaugh has restored order to every place he goes. The University of Stanford brings them back to prominence, makes the 49ers relevant. They actually went to back-to-back NFC championship games, including going to a Super Bowl one year where he faced his brother John Harbaugh with the Ravens. The 49ers decide he's not in the plan. They kick him out. He goes to Michigan. Michigan's did almost a complete 180 in the last year and a half because of him being there. He brings in people like Gordon. He brings in people like Warren Buffett, like Ric Flair. All those guys he brought in, all those girls and everybody he brought in back for the signing day stuff. It's not just to get people to show up, popularity. It's because these people are winners. And if winners hang around with winners, you're as good as the company you keep. There's many examples throughout the league all the time where people that still hang out with the guys they did from the old neighborhood and end up dragging them down. You know, things happen. But, you know, who do the Harbaughs hang out with? They hang out with people like Jeff Gordon. Who does Tom Brady hang out with? He hangs out with Aaron Rodgers, and he hangs out with Donald Trump. And this is politics aside, but Donald Trump is, a great business leader. He's a winner. We don't know if he'll be a winner later on this fall, but that's a completely different show, and we're not going to get onto it. But, you know, as far as his business acumen, he's a winner. Who does Matt Ryan hang out with? Not just because he's his owner. He hangs out with Arthur Blank. He hangs out with other quarterbacks. He's hung out with Drew Brees before. Who do people like? We had a good example before. Who did Wayne Gretzky hang out with? Well, he hung out with Mario Lemieux and other stars. Stars hang out with stars. You know, look at golf. When Jason Day and Rory McIlroy and Tiger and all those, they all play golf with each other away from the tournament. They all hang out together, not just because they all play golf. I mean, you could take three managers from a Bojangles restaurant and have them hang out. And they may not have anything in common. It may not go well at all. But winners hang with winners, not just because it's not an elitist thing. It's not like a country club. But you want to talk to people who are successful, who are driven, who want to do the kinds of things you do as far as succeeding. So whether you make fun of Jeff Gordon, whether you make fun of University of Michigan, whether you make fun of Jim Harbaugh, that's neither here nor there as far as this point. The winners hang with winners. And I'm sure if you look around even your life, you'll see winners group together and others just kind of, you know, dwindle around. You guys are winners because you came to hang out here, and we're all winners for being Jaguar fans and just, you know, living life and loving the things we do. I'm going to end on a quote from Colin Cowherd just because I like Colin, and it's a really good point. I've said it before, but this is where I'm going to end it. And he says, like your sports, love your life. I think you guys know what that means. If you don't, check out either of his two books. The first one's amazing. I need to look into the second one. But it's going to do it for me. So appreciate you guys dropping by Jaguar Zone this week. Of course, we are off next week. The following week will be Falcon Zone, and Jaguar Zone will be the week after that. So for Impact Media and Blog Talk Radio, I am Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys in a couple weeks. Go Jaguars!
By that much.